Zeche Nishmas Avi Mori, Yaakov and Yisrael Pilchus, and Zeche Nishmas Ben Yosheinu, Rav Yeshua Falek. Okay, Rabbosai. So today, going to be the last shiur in Yonei Nida. Second. Okay, just one second, I'm gonna say. Okay. So there are two things I wanted to do. So first, we did already some things in the Gamak on packet 37. And I just wanted to... Because one of the major things in Hilchas Nida is to be able to know what's Nida and what's Maka. Because if it's Maka, then she's Mutter. Nida, then she's Aser. So if it's not coming from the uterus, then it's Damaka. Like we said, like the cervix is when you have a pap smear, you rub the cervix, that's not even Nida blood. The question is, if you rub the uterus, is that called Nida blood or not? So I told you the three shitas that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that's considered dam maka. Rav Abadi holds that way as well, but Rav Shechter says it's a kesem because it's not coming out hormonally, and others, I think Rav David Feinstein held it was regular dam nida because this is the this is the Dam Nida. There's a tshuva in the Sefer Devar Shmuel of Shmuel Abu Hav. And packet 37 is the packet of Maka, and it should be in that packet. If you have it in front of you, here, Shmuel Abu Hav, right here on page 22. But he writes something along the lines, if it's not derech riyah b'kach. In other words, something that's not the normal way of bleeding, so that would be damaka. That's the... So if you have something that's Maka, I'm reading from the Rabbi Josh Weinberger's notes from my shiurim from years ago. Rav Shlomo Abov explains that a Maka is essentially a Riyah Shelo Kedarka. So So if you have a Riyusha Lokadarka, that's a Maka. So that would perhaps bolster the idea of what Rav Shlomo Zalman was saying, that if you poke it out, so even if it's the blood is technically need the blood, it's still. So I want to read to you from the footnote here that Rabbi Josh Weinberger wrote from my Shirim then, because he says, like, Rav Simon noted that a few years ago he had a shayla that he received again this past week. A woman was pregnant. And this is a page, if you have it read by Josh Weinberg, so I think you get it online, his right knee, the notes, on page 453. And the footnote, 555 on page 453. He says that a few years ago, he had a shayla that received again, this a woman was pregnant, and usually the sac clings to the wall of the rechem. What happens in this case was the sac was not clinging on, and so there was a blood clot that formed between the sac and the fetus and the wall of the rechem. It was a substantial ball of blood that the doctor suspected would bleed for 5 to 6 months. This would mean she would be a nida for 5 to 6 months because, again, the sac is trying to cling on to the wall of the rechem and it wasn't able to. So there is a blood clot that formed between the sac and the wall. The question was whether she was going to be a nida for the next 6 months. So I was looking for a cooler, so I called up Rav Wallhendler. Rav Wallhendler was a big time chacham in Williamsburg, who wrote the original, one of the best svarim on Hilchas Nida. I don't know if I ever put it in a packet, but it's called Gufei Halachas, Mishneh Berurah HaChadash. He wrote like Rav Fiva Cohen wrote a Mishneh Berurah type sefer on Hilchas Nida, he called it Bari HaShulchan. But this Rav called it his Nida sefer Gufei Halachas Mishneh Berurah HaChadash, so people got very upset with him. You know, how can you call your sefer Mishneh Berurah? And they gave him whatever. They gave him a lot of tzaras. So Rabbi Wallhendler said that maybe it's Toloi. Yeah, so on a Machlokas. There's a sefer Lechem V'Simlo by the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. In the back of the sefer, he has a kuntras called Umka Dedina. And there's a machlokas here between the Maram Bublin and the Ben Habach. The Maram Zulblin, that's the Maram from the back of the Gemara, and the Ben Habach. So what was the Machlokas about? So the Machlokas was about the following. About a person who had cancer, God forbid, and there was cancerous cells in the uterus, and that was causing the lining to shed and make her anida. So in other words, there was no visible thing, no visible womb, but there was a sickness there. There was a sickness that was causing her to... So the question is that called Nida or not? What is the din? I'm reading from Rabbi Josh Weinberg's notes. What is the din if someone... has a cancer inside. So it's not like a normally a wound. You see a, you know, a petza. You could see it. But here it's a sickness that is causing the bleeding. So the question is that considered dam nida, or is that considered dam maka? So let's see. Because on one hand, it's not the normal way a woman has a flow, but it could be that since because of the sickness she has hormones, and the hormones are causing the shedding of the lining. So she has a disease in the uterus. Over here is also here it's just the fact that the sac is rubbing against the uterine wall and forming a blood clot, but there's no thing that we could. So I always thought that it should be taloy whether you hold like Rav Shlomo Zalman or not. Because if you hold like Rav Shlomo Zalman, then you take a stick and you poke it in, that's called damaka, because it didn't come out in the normal way. It's not hormonal. So the same thing over here. And maybe that's taloy in this machlokas. Whether he says, on page 17, Nered Behedyah, the Mitshuvah Zod, the Iker Machlokas Ben Maram, the Machlokas between the Maram and the Ben Abach, is that if you have a Maka inside, but there's no visual thing to see. So that's the question, whether that's called... You see, if you would work with the Dvar Shmuel on anything that's not the normal way of having a period, and that's causing the blood, that's called a maka, so then maybe this should also be called a maka, because it's not the normal way. It's not that she's having hormones that are causing the uterus to shed. It's just there's trauma. That's the difference. You know, trauma versus hormones. Shlomo Zalman said that trauma, when you have trauma, that's a maka. So it could be that the baby is causing trauma to the uterine lining. The case of Maram Lublin is different, because Machlokas of Maram Lublin and the Ben Abach is there's a sickness that's causing probably hormonal change. But there's nothing, it's not necessarily visible. Maram says that she specifically needs a brief from Rabbi Josh Warren, who's supposed to needs to have a wound or a bruise. It has to be a petza. Maram Lublin says it has to be a petza. A petza is a bruise. You could see the bruise. But if she's having, say, a cancer, so the cancer is causing the hormones to change, so that's not that you see a bruise. So the Maram Lublin says you need a bruise, and the But the Bet Habach says that you don't need to see a bruise. If she's having a sickness, and even though you don't see the bruise, and that's causing the line to shed, that's also considered a makkah. So most, for some reason, most Rabbanim, this is called the hematoma shaila. And this, when women are pregnant, a lot of times they have this shaila. They have a blood clot. And the minhag olam is to be machmir, to treat it like dam nida. There is a few opinions that are makel of that, but most people are machmir, so Rav David Cohen was machmir in that also. Okay, but that's something I'm still working on, to see whether there could be this, whether this could be considered maka, because it's trauma. It's the baby, instead of the stick being against the thing, it's the baby's against it. And that's the question of fibroids, etc. Okay, the last topic is about the Isser of Hotzah Zera Levatala. And this is a very sensitive topic, because when people are growing up, teenagers, you know, are plagued by this topic. Because once a person reaches a certain age where he has hormones in his body and he has desire to be Motzi Zera, and then very often young teenagers masturbate because they have that need, and then there's a tremendous guilt conscious about it. So I'm not going to say the whole shiur. You can listen. It's usually the last shiur in Hilchos Nida, and I have in a longer version than I'm going to say over today. But you can hear and a lot of times, a lot of the Sfarim, have a lot of guilt placed on people for doing this. And I believe that it's not a healthy guilt, because you're going to cause people to be very depressed because of it. So I always, tell people that, they have to try their best, but, they shouldn't have this sense of guilt, it's brought down that they should learn more or something like that. On page 55 in the pack in the Keser Rosh says, in one second, on page 53. He says, "Tshuva l'nichshal ba'avam kari kimad b'pesher ratzolom she'osek b'torah, eidu tzorach lidol klal." So they asked the Vilna Gaon, "What should he do when something like this happens?" He says, So he writes here about. You torture yourself and be tortured. And the Keser Rosh says that no, the approach should be you'll learn a little bit more, and that should be the approach, and not to have this guilty conscience. Because it's a very unhealthy thing. I was never a fan of when they had these chaburas in the yeshiva about this topic, and adding guilt upon guilt. And again, people, of course, should not try to do it. And the most important thing is that the people should not, be watching pornography, which could cause this to you know, to exacerbate this thing. But if it happens, you know, so it happens. And you can't, and should, you know, like the Kesaro says, you should learn a little bit more. And shouldn't we, you know, I was once a counselor in camp, Mara Shakolo, for several summers. So one day I noticed that there's one of the fellas who was skipping lunch. He wasn't coming to the meals. And so I was worried about him. So I took him aside and asked him, why are you coming to the meals? So he says, I'm not coming to the meals because I was nichshal in this thing. And he's punishing himself for, you know, and you know, so that's not a healthy approach. You know, people take upon themselves that this is the worst thing in the world, so therefore they need to punish themselves. And the better way is to say, okay, it happened, and I'm going to learn a little bit more, and we're going to move on. And not to you know, so somebody once heard the shiurim that I give. A very sincere person called me up. He called Rabbi Tuchman up also. And he said, well, I have a solution to the problem. Let people get married when they're 15 years old or something like that. So I said, you know, with all due respect to you, but that's a terrible idea because then you'll ruin people's lives. If they get married when they're 15 years old because they're having issues with a desire to masturbate and things like that. And so you can't, you know, he meant it very sincerely, but he didn't get that, you know, that's not the way to deal with it. Now, there is a machlokas between Tosis and the Rambam about Bia Shalo Kedarka. Right? So, Bia Shalo Kedarka literally means when a person has, instead of having regular vaginal intercourse, he has intercourse with his wife anally. And so the question is, what is the story about Bia Shalo Kedarka? So the Rambam writes on page 10, Isha shal odam muteres tilo, l'ficha kol ma shal odam rotza lasos b'ishto osa, right? And then he says, Ubo alea kedarka v'shalo kedarka, uvelad shalo yotzi shichva zera levatola. In other words, the Rambam says he can have vaginal intercourse and anal intercourse, as long as he's not motzi zera when he has anal intercourse. That's the Rambam's opinion. But Tosis writes differently. On page 21, in Nun Chesam at Beis, in the Tosis, he writes, Lo osir elok she'osekach todir. In other words, even having anal intercourse would be permissible if he only does it in an infrequent basis, even if it's motzi zera. Even if it's motzi zera. And that's brought down in the Ramah. In Shulchan Aruch, on page 33 here, he says, Afilu motzi zera im osa bakroy. In other words, if once in a while he does it, he has anal intercourse, or according to the Prisha, even if it's not necessarily anal, it could be oral or other ways that people are sometimes intimate, and it's motzi zera even. But it's in an infrequent basis, so that's the Ramo quotes that Tosis, that would be permissible. But the Beis Yosef on page 31 doesn't like that, Kula. And he says that He says, Ilu haya ri roa, the Beta Kabayis of the Beis Yosef Perek Beis. He says, if the ri would have seen what the Zohar says about the onus of Motzi Zera Levatala, he wouldn't have said what he said. In other words, he wouldn't have permitted having relations in other ways, other than vaginal relations, even Makroi Balma, which is the Rambam Shita, that if you have relations in other ways other than vaginal relations, that you can't do that unless, you could do that unless you, but you can't be Motzi Zera. And Tosis permits it even if you are Motzi Zera. And the Beis Yosef, so in certain situations when I talk to young couples when they're getting married, so sometimes, you know, this becomes an issue, and it's a very personal thing of what a couple might need in certain situations. Of course, we don't try to, but sometimes sometimes what happens, first of all, is a certain situation where a woman can't get pregnant. She just had a miscarriage, and she can't get pregnant now, and then she goes to the mikvah, and then she's still not allowed to get pregnant. And she doesn't want to go back on the birth control pill because she wants to have a child. So, and a lot of times, you know, the birth control pills don't work well with people. If it works well, it's the easiest way of dealing with birth control, which you just take a pill. And there's a question, you know, in the post-scheme whether the use of a condom is ever permitted or not. You know, the condom, you know, is put on the man, and so there's a truva in the Achiezer where he quotes one of the Achronim that certain difficult health situations where she can't get pregnant, maybe there could be heter because so this way they'll be able to still cohabit together, but she won't become pregnant. I mean, again, when a person is ready to get married and discuss it with, you know, I'd be happy to discuss with anyone to see what the possibilities are of family planning. You know, I am of the opinion that for many couples, especially in this day and age, they shouldn't have children right away because they're not, even, you know, some people say, you know, if you're old enough to get married, you're old enough to have a child, so I don't always believe that's the case. That sometimes people are old enough to get married, but they're not ready to have a child. So some people are very mocked. No, you got to have it right away, and there's no heter. And I'm of the opinion that sometimes the couple needs to wait a little bit to, you know, sometimes they're in, you know, difficult graduate programs or things like that, but sometimes even without that. But obviously they're going to be living as a married couple together, and so that's the question of that Yom Tov Shlomo has about that he permits putting something in the woman that's not going to let the Zera, and he says that that's not called Levatala because they're having Tashmish, it's Derech Bia. It's Derech Bia Bekach. So even though, and that's not called Mashchis, you know, Aleitzim Vavonim, because it's Derech Bia Bekach, and that's part of the discussion that is that some rabbanim have discussed in terms of the use of a condom or not. You know, if it's derech tashmish, would that be permissible? And then there's a Tosus Rid that says that maybe the whole din of page 39, the whole din of Chatzar Zera Levatola is because you don't want your wife to become pregnant because it'll take away her beauty and you don't want to fulfill Peru Revu. But if his intent is just to get pleasure, but not to mevatel peruvu, so then maybe that's like the case in Chumash. Maise erva onan. He didn't want her to get pregnant because she'll lose her beauty. But if the kavan is to avoid sakana or something like that, so then maybe that wouldn't be part of the discussion. The Achiezer of Chaim Oizer, when he discusses the condom here on page 45, when he discusses this, Chemda Shlom was. אז יא גסאב דה הוסי פא איקרא איזו משום שאינו כדר כל ארץ, אוקיי? יש נאב עם נרטיק דק, אולי אין זה כדר כל ארץ. אמס משום הכוון כדי למייס הנא. So that's the tshuva here. Dvar El Yahu. Was a Kalatsky, Shapilpo Zev, Hela Gamdion Shalom, Altein Daktik, Dakla Atera. That he quotes an opinion that permits some type of narcotic, some type of condom in certain situations. And again, I think that's a very... And then the other big question is when sometimes a couple is having fertility issues and they need to check the man's semen, the semen analysis, because they want to know what's the reason that they're not having children. Is it from the woman's perspective? So some want to say that you have to do a derech bia to get the zera out of the man, or some permit to do it even in the office where the man will just, touch that area and cause the zera to come out. And some say maybe that's not called zera levatola, because you're not doing it to waste, you're doing it because you want to have children. And you just need to check, to do testing for the sperm analysis to see... what's going on. So, but one of the main things that, sometimes people shouldn't have children, and what happens is they don't have proper protection, and they have children, and they're not ready, and then they're asking for a heter for abortion. I always say, it's better to give a heter for a condom than a heter for an abortion. You know, abortion is a much more chomerdik thing. Again, every situation, even for a condom and this, needs a lot of COVID rosh, when to apply, when not to apply. But I feel very strongly, first of all, that many couples need to wait and not have a child right away, because that could be a disaster to their lives if they're not ready. And a lot of times, chas v'shalom, they have a child right away, and then they're not ready to have the child, and then they break up, and once somebody breaks up with a child, they're forever attached to the original spouse, and then they have custody battles, and it's creates a lot of, so everything has to be step by step. The marriage is one step. And then for some people, they're ready right away, and they should have right away, but some people are not, especially in our day and age where every woman is expected to have a graduate degree and have a profession. You know, that's the culture we live in today. It's not like when, my grandmother was, raising a family, she got married, and that's it. My grandparents are European, my Ashkenazi grandmother was a European Jew, an old-fashioned European Jew, got married, had children. And my other grandmother, who my Sephardic grandmother, she went to work, not because she's a professional in that, just to put food on the table. You know, they had to go to work. But today, everyone's expected, she has to be in either OT, PT, a dentist, you know, everyone's expected, or else in our day and age, you can't get a shidduch if you don't, everyone's going to ask, what does she do? That's the first question they ask, what does she do? What did she do? And to say, oh, she's just a housewife, you know, that's in the culture we live in. So then, you want to say, and then she has to have a child right away while she's, you know, you have to have rachmanis on the woman also. You know, and everything has to have a lot of seichel and a lot of kovod rosh and a lot of, and you have to, you know, shol eitzah with someone you feel that could understand you and relate to you. And that's the idea. Now, I didn't cover all the details that I did maybe in previous years in this, but the main topics, you know, that I just mentioned, and I'm sure Ari Tachman will go over it with you. But I just wanted to. You know, conclude with that. And when everyone, I teach chassanim when you're ready to get married, and we're always happy to learn one-on-one with everybody, because I think it's so important to, you know, to be able to have one-on-one, you know, discussions on these topics and, you know, things that you can't do in a public forum, because it's a very private thing and every situation is different. And there's very important discussions about these topics. They're very personal topics, but they're very important topics. And you know, and the key is to have a good marriage. You know, the most important thing is to marry a person for the right reason. You know, people marry for the wrong reason. They marry because, oh, this yichus or money, all the wrong reasons. And if you don't marry for the right reason, you're going to suffer the rest of your life. You have to marry because the person is a good person and you like the person, you know. It's not because what her father, you know, some people would come to me and said, you know, this girl, her father is very big in chinuch, you want to go into chinuch, so you should marry. That's a ridiculous thing. It's a ridiculous thing. Well, this girl, if you marry her, you'll be sitting in coal all the rest of your life. That's also, you know, everything but what, you know, first tell you should marry this person because you like this person. This is a person, you like the person. You like to be with the person, you know, as opposed to that. But that's an important thing. I think in the YU community, it's better than some other communities where it's sort of like a business deal. You know, the marriage is just a hechi timtza, so now you'll be enough, you know. It's not a healthy thing to, when you get married for the wrong reasons, and you should get married to good person, you know, somebody, you know, and that's the idea. Okay, Rabosai, we officially now have finished our limud of Hilchas Nida, and it's always, you know, I tell you, why do I like teaching the smicha classes? Is first of all, gives the opportunity to review the halacha, but it always gives an opportunity to meet new people, to, you know, it's also the idea of making a kesher with people and having hadracha, and especially this area of halacha is a very important, sensitive area, and if you don't do it properly, you know, not only because of it's a chorus in this, but you know, your whole life is dependent upon on these issues of family planning and taras hamishpacha and these things. So Bez Hashem, you should all have the opportunity to those that are not married yet to, you know, to get to that stage, and then I give a private, you know, shir. But once you know these things, you know the yesodos of all these things. So I thank everyone for being here. So we'll have to discuss. So Ben Katz, when what's the psak of when should we have the bechina?
People were next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
What does everything?
In the morning. Yeah. Okay. I just have to check my schedule. Even if I have a simcha that day, I don't think it's going to be in the morning. We could do it. Yeah, we could do it next Sunday if that's what you think is good. And we're starting Hilchas Avelos on Monday. I think the Rabbi Talbot sent out a thing.